Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
If you own a business, or if you don't own a business, but practice smart thinking and apply wisdom to your life from seemingly unrelated areas, our guest today is for you. Thank you for joining us today on the Social Network Show. You are the most important and cherished guest. Chris Brogan is publisher of Owner Magazine, a business magazine helping you to improve your worth by growing your capabilities and your connections. He is CEO and president of Human Business Works, a publishing and media company, and he is a sought-after keynote speaker who has addressed crowds of thousands. And he's been on the Dr. Phil Show. And once he was presented to a princess, apparently she gave him back. Chris has consulted with companies like Disney, Microsoft, Coke, Titleist, PepsiCo, Google, Motorola, and many more. And he is the New York Times best-selling author of 6 books so far, including The Impact Equation with Julian Smith. He lives in Northern Mass, where he frequently plays Minecraft with his kids and plots Conquering the World with Jacqueline Carley. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Chris.
Couldn't be any happier to be here. Thank you so much for having me. One of the things I hear after, big introductions like that is that I'm always scared that there's no way this conversation will live to it. But, one way to, acquire that kind of accolade is just be the first person and stick your finger in, every socket until you can then be the person who's, hey, don't do that. You seem really smart.
Interesting. Sort of a negative approach. I like that. So shock your way into prominence, right?
Pretty much. I mean, I was on the treadmill the other day, and ESPN was talking about some basketball team. Don't ask which one, because I don't know any of them. But he said they're not really great at three-point shots, but they're great by volume. So, percentage-wise, they blow, but by volume, you get enough points. Okay, and I thought that's pretty much my business experience.
Okay, just keep doing, just scattergun it, right, in a way?
Yeah, just try a lot of things. I mean, it's basically, the book and movie Moneyball, the whole idea was just get on base. Don't worry about home run percentages. Don't run on, whatever. So in business, that means things. Try executing, just going, as opposed to waiting for the perfect plan kind of mindset that people do.
Oh, interesting. So do it. Just do it in a way, in a way. Well, yeah, Goethe was interesting there. He said, whatever you can dream you can do or you think you can do, begin, because that's where the power, the genius, and the magic is. And it seems like that's what the real front runners do. They don't talk about doing things. They do things, and they may talk about it afterward.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of people who write these kind of supposing kind of content, and there's other people who say, I was this problem. I mean, one of the interesting early experiences, for instance, with podcasting, which is kind of all the rage now, but back in 2004, the people who sort of found me in the space were always sending emails back and forth amongst themselves saying, hey, I just tried this kind of a thing, and it didn't really work, but this did work. What do you guys know about that? And that's how the space really took off, is everyone was willing to share with everyone else. I find that in a lot of different industries, sharing isn't necessarily a given, but I find that in industries or in subset of industries where people are willing to do it, then the reward is really great.
Interesting. So how do social networks play? I mean, I know you have a ton of followers on Twitter, but how do they play in your game plan, so to speak? As you know, I mean, some people can have like tens of thousands of followers and not really get any interaction. So is there any magic there that you could share with us, beginners, if you will?
Well, I mean, very specific to Twitter, for instance, I mean, the game has changed. I showed up in 2006, in March of, October of 06, and I was like user number 10,212. So not exactly the absolute bleeding edge, but pretty early. In the old days, we just talked to each other, and it worked, and everyone just chitty-chatted, and we didn't really know what to do, and that was it. Now, it's almost kind of like Bloomberg news device where you, you know, have to spurt out things you're trying to promote all day. Well, the people who I think are getting the most engagement are the people who are causing the most engagement, the people who comment on other people's stuff and who share other stuff and who connect with people who aren't themselves and who share sometimes as much as 10 to 12 times other people's things, every one thing that they created for themselves, and who don't perform all these weird business attempts at leg humping, like, you know, please take my thing or please vote for my thing or whatever, and instead equip other people for success. I mean, it's really strange. You go to the grocery store, the products aren't sold in order of how badly we want you to buy it. They're sold in how well you could use it for what you need to get done. So that's the mindset.
Excellent. Excellent. So the ratio, that's interesting. You say 12 to 1. Can you embellish on that just a little bit more?
Yeah, so, you know, when let's say that you really want somebody to, I don't know, buy your book.
Okay.
And so your first post, and maybe your book is about snowboarding in never-ending winter in the Northeast. I'm laughing because I know where you guys are, and, you know, you can't really relate to what I'm looking at the window.
the Jamaican bobsled flood team. Gotcha, okay.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So let's pretend, though, that's the book, snowboarding book. So maybe I appeal to snowboarders. So what I would do is the first post I would do is something about current snow conditions and why this may be the best year ever for snowboarders. Not me, not my post, just something I found on the web. And then what I might do is some other person who's a famous snowboarder, maybe I would share something they had posted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if I do 10 or so of those or 12 of those posts, then I would say, hey, I have a book on snowboarding coming out. Well, guess what? Because of the 10 or 12 posts that you put together about, you know, our stuff, then people, you know, pay a slightly different kind of attention.
Okay. So you are big on promoting others. I know I get your newsletter, which is excellent. And it's fascinating because the way you intro in to that, I mean, it's like you really work at these, at the wording, and you take a lot of pride in your work. I mean, it's really obvious. I mean, is that something that you acquire naturally, like promoting others, for example?
Well, I take steroids.
Okay, I thought so. I'm glad you said it because, you know, the testing guy's right outside your door, but he's on hold.
That's right. You know, I carry my own fake urine, so I'm ready. All right. So what I do is, you know, I believe from a very early age that everything is nicer when you share. I think I learned that in kindergarten, as Robert Fulghum's old book was. And every process that I've found, if I do things that where I'm greedy, I never make anything. I never make enough money. I never make enough business. Nothing happens when I act greedy. And when I'm really nice and share, and I'm really promoting other people that I think are great, whatever, the universe keeps rewarding me. And I mean financially, and I mean everything else. This is not kumbaya stuff. This is basic spreadsheet make money stuff, you know. And when I look at the spreadsheet, every time I'm greedy, I don't make money. Every time I'm really helpful and really sharing, money shows up. There's a law called the law of reciprocation that Robert Cialdini writes about. He writes about it sort of in a greedy way. If you're really nice to people, they have to be nice back. I think about it almost exactly the same, except I put a smiley face at the end of the sentence. And it's sort of like the Godfather. My approach to business is the Godfather approach, which is I do so many favors for so many other people, and I almost never ask for the favor, that by the time I do ask, they're exploding to be helpful. And I think that's a better way to run your business.
Nice, nice. Okay, so we're going to continue with Chris Brogan, I think right at the top, sort of the king of the whole social media space, and we'll be doing that in a second.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
And you're listening to the Social Network Show. And we are speaking with Chris Brogren. And Chris, you were going to tell us a little bit about the Owner Magazine.
I run a magazine online. It's a business magazine called Owner Magazine at ownermag.com. And what I did there was we took about 24 or so authors who write for business, and we decided to make a how-to type of business magazine because most all the other magazines out there seem to be kind of who-to. So when you pick up Inc. or Fast Company or something, there's usually an article about how Mark Zuckerberg is or Marissa Mayer. Mm-hmm. And my friend Patricia, who runs a chocolate shop, does not benefit from anything she reads in those articles because she thinks, you know, I don't own Facebook. I own a chocolate shop, and I'm trying to figure out how to get people in my store for more than Valentine's, Easter, Halloween, Christmas. Mm-hmm. What do you know? And so I decided that my way to that is get a bunch of authors together and make a business magazine. So it comes out in the first of every month. Since we started, it was a very holistic mindset where health and fitness also mattered because we think a lot of people don't take ownership of their body on the way to their success. But we recently split that into a whole new thing. So Jacqueline and Carly launched BossFit magazine, which is another, you know, product that we help produce, but that is all about, you know, fitness and nutrition for the busy professional so that we can really focus on that and help make this world a little bit healthier.
Great.
Nice. And you have a new book coming out too, right?
I do, and it's sort of late. It's called The Freaks Shall Inherit the Earth. It comes out around St. Patrick's Day, and the concept is basically that you know, the universe used to really well, not the universe, but humans have for a long time told us we have to fit a very certain mold. And starting in the 40s, 50s, and 60s in the industrial complex, it was we were told you must fit this cog, you know, part into this machine. And then we did that in cubicles in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I think that we are right on the cusp of realizing that you belong and you are not alone. And you are the weirdest, craziest version of you that you are. Somebody out there wants that. And somebody else, there is kind of a business opportunity to be had if you just kind of learn the business aspects of cueing into the stuff that really matters to you. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily have purple hair and a pierced face to be a freak. You could just be, I don't know, the Dollar Shave Club and decide that you want to go up against Gillette by making razor blades for a buck instead of 12 bucks. And you might decide that you are an architect in New York City who works with construction and engineering all day and decides that you want to make an apparel brand and sell bags to those people instead, which is my friend RJ who runs Industry Portage. And so I think that there's just kind of, it's not necessarily a craft movement, but it's definitely sort of a cottage industry mindset where maybe you don't need 10 million customers, but maybe you just need 1,000 that just love the heck out of what you do. And there to tell people that that's a possibility now.
So, that sounds very reminiscent of Reinventing You. I think you know Dory Clark, don't you?
Yes. Not personally. We haven't had supper or anything, but yes. And I'm very much a product of books like that. And Tom Peters, The Brand Called You. Mark Echo just recently put out a new book called Unlabel, which is kind of what goes into the, sort of the personal branding mindset. But in all those books, and I'm not trashing any of them, there's very much kind of a how the brand works kind of a language. And what I'm saying is, you're a weirdo, embrace it, and you will find the weirdos who love what you love, you weirdo. So it's a slightly different perspective.
Yeah, I like the way you deal with branding as a not so much a vocation, but at least a dilemma or a challenge. What fascinates you, Chris? You've been in this game even like your Twitter beginnings, but before that, I mean, like I say, I you're the one name that I remember above all others, which is fascinating for someone who hasn't paid any attention to any of this for so long. But having said that, what astonishes you now about social networks, social media? I mean, we make a big distinction between the two, obviously, because we have 500 we monitor, but What's astonishing you in this game right now?
You know, it's really sad that a kind of negative answer comes right to mind, which is that we just built these tools that would allow us to be more human. We just built all these tools that allow us to connect in a very humanistic way, and that the number one question I get over and over and over again is, how can I, you know, get much more efficient and use up less time and be more robotic in my use of these human tools? And so the thing that makes me just miserable is that it's basically like saying, hey, I just invented the answering machine. Now I want to invent a tool that lets my answering machine call your answering machine, and we don't even have to talk to each other anymore. And I think they think that that's going to get them more business. But, you know, if robots are talking to robots, it turns out humans are still who buys, and we really still need to reach into brains and minds and emotions and choices that go well beyond an algorithm. And so, to me, that's what astonishes me.
And it's the real, I mean, I'm so glad to hear you say that, not because it's negative, but because if we don't know where the bleeding is, we can't stop it anyway. And I mean, what I think, what I appreciate about you is that when we did meet face to face at NMX, you were, first of all, you were nice to me, and I'm not the most popular guy in the world, and I'm not easy, but also you were very human. And you introduced me to Mike right away, and from Social Media Examiner, and that's the one thing that I pick up from you, is that you are really not being bowled over by the technology. What Einstein, you know, our technologies outrun our humanity, outrun, and it's true. And that's the sad part. But it is astonishing, isn't it, that we have these amazing tools, and we're becoming, in general at least, less human, more robotic. Sad, huh?
Agreed. And, you know, it's interesting because we sell courses at Owner Magazine, and one of the things that we're launching this year is a course that Rob Hatch came up with. He's my president. He said, to automate is human. And we talk about how we use all these automation tools that you would think were all robotic things to be way more human. And we do it basically by tone of the messaging and the communications we send. We do it by how we respond. We do it by, you know, what we do with the information we receive. And so it's a choice. It really is a choice. And so I guess for folks listening to the show, the big takeaway from that is to realize that, you know, efficiency isn't the same as effectiveness. That's what Stephen R. Covey taught us in The Seven Habits. And I could go to a bar and tell 14 women in a row, you have beautiful eyes, but that is probably not going to win. And I probably have to, you know, do something to be a lot more human to get the pretty girl to come home. So I think our goals, you know, we have to really consider how we're using the tools and try to remember to use our superpowers for good.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Dr. J, when you think of social networks and social media, what's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of, like, say, like, guests like Chris and Mike's coming up, et cetera? And, you know, like, what are the challenges that you see?
Any group to thrive has to have a task, a job that they're working on together. And I think that's the danger, the risk that we have in so many social networks and all the modalities we have that's under the heading of social these days, is what is the overall purpose, overarching goal? I mean, are we working together on something? And I don't know if you see that happening, Chris.
No, I don't. But as you said it, I got a chill right at my back. I think you're spot on. I think you're absolutely correct. And we have these tools that allow us to cast a bright campfire, and sometimes that's our content that makes good campfires, or sometimes it's just the tool that says, hey, everybody, gather here. Mm-hmm. But right after we stand there for a while, there's that moment where we have to look at each other and say, okay, now what? And if someone doesn't realize that, you know, now is when we share and pass the conch shell around, or now is when we, you know, figure out who knows what song that we can all add into, you're right. We end up looking like a bunch of fools looking at fire, and then we disband and go back to our tents and go to sleep. So I think you're spot on that's the challenge.
And so the underline is really a matter of meaning, isn't it? Isn't it? We go back, is this meaningful? Like, in other words, if you're standing there and you're contemplating whether to stay in front of the fire, and hold hands or sing a song or go back to the tents. It's like it's if it has any real meaning or fascination at that moment, isn't in that genuine feel, like you mentioned the chill, isn't that really the essence that it's meaningful, even like what we're talking about now, right?
100%. I'll give you a really like bleeding, still body wound part of an answer to that. I have an event coming up on the 18th and 19th in March, or maybe that's in the past, depending on when we go live. But the event is, you know, I had intended for it to be somewhat small and intimate, like 30 to 50 people, but it is really small and intimate to the point that I had to write to all of the people that I have participating and saying, look, this is really small. And in a lot of cases, I would consider, let's just cancel it, but I know a lot of you booked non-refundable tickets. So here's what I'm offering. Why don't we all, you know, turn the chairs in a circle, and why don't we all really work with each other? And I'll give you all of the consulting ideas I ever could have to make your businesses better, and then you can also contribute and bring some meaning to this with what you know how to do. And I expected some angry emails. I expected some of the people, especially who were flying in to speak and present, to say, I can't believe this, what a mess, blah, 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 forget it, I'm not coming. 100% of everybody is coming. And 100% of everybody said, oh, that's so cool, I really can't wait. What can I do? What can I bring? And it's become a giant picnic. And it's going to be a costly picnic business-wise for me, but it is going to be kind of a watershed experience for all of us that go to that. And, you know, that's kind of me making lemonade, but it's going to be delicious lemonade.
It sure sounds like it to me.
Nice, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been fascinating. Time flew.
It means the world to me. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun to talk to you both.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.